He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
With Gunderson Capital Management. I'm in the secret bunker in an undisclosed location, and Stephen, you are in the BSN studios there in Carlsbad, California. How is your morning going so far, Stephen?
It's going well. Good weather over here.
Do we have another winning day in the market?
We do. Another one. Keep it going.
Believe it. You know what? Have they got those 26,000 hats printed up on Wall
Probably.
Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average of 30 stocks is up 144 points today. That works out to a 0.6% gain. And the Dow is now at 25,719. You know, it wasn't that long ago that they put the 25,000 hats on over there on Wall Street, and here we are just 281 points away now from 26,000. The S&P 500 lagging, however. I think the Dow, it's probably a couple of big Dow stocks that's really driving this, because as I look at the underneath the surface areas of the market, it's not as strong as that Dow number would suggest. The S&P is up almost 8 points, 2,775. And the NASDAQ is trailing by quite a bit behind the NASDAQ. And the NASDAQ is up 9 points to 7,221. Maybe, Taman, can you turn my volume up just a little bit there on the microphone? I'm up full blast here. Russell 2000 up 1 point to 1588. And that all-important bond market has settled down again. It's at 2.57%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know, we have another winning day in the market today, another triple-digit gain. So far on the Dow, the NASDAQ is lagging. There's something up with Facebook. I haven't really figured that out. It's down 7 points today to $180 per share, and that is having an impact on the NASDAQ. You know, I heard him talking about it this morning, Stephen. I don't know if you were able to – I haven't had time to look into it and analyze the situation, but Facebook changed something. Did you see anything clear that you could make out there?
I haven't seen any news yet, but I'll do some digging.
Yeah, there was something this morning about – changing their news feed. I couldn't quite figure it out, but the stock is reacting negatively to the news here this morning. And I'm looking at a few other, the chip stocks are a little bit weak here today. So the action is definitely in the blue chip Dow index here today. And the market is not as strong underneath the surface as the Dow would suggest. Well, you know, yesterday we had another winning day in the market. What, didn't we end up triple digits yesterday?
Yeah, we did.
And of course, the only down day we had was on the fake news by Bloomberg and on the bond market, and the fake news by another media outlet on NAFTA. And of course, on that day, 9 out of the 11 sectors were negative. And, of course, yesterday, Thursday, the day after the fake news, 8 of the 11 sectors were positive. So, listen, fake news impacts the markets. Let's get our news correct. Let's report honesty, accuracy, integrity, well-sourced stories, and let's avoid the agendas and the rumor mills. That would be my advice to the media.
That would be
earnings,
nice.
Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, that we could trust. I don't know. I grew up with Walter Cronkite. I never felt like he had an agenda. I felt like Walter Cronkite was reporting the news. Maybe he did have an agenda, and I was too young to understand it. But it seems to me like they just used to report the news. Never know. Okay, well, futures were higher this morning. Earnings season is now underway. Let's look at the big two that have reported this morning. Actually, there's three, and they're in the banking industry. We first look at Wells Fargo. If you want to know whether or not they exceeded Wall Street expectations or they delighted Wall Street, look at how the stock is reacting. Well, the stock is reacting pretty tepidly here. Wells Fargo is down 0.6%. The banks have had a good run recently. Wells Fargo took off in late December, made a nice run. They reported earnings today. Of course, an S&P 500 company, also a Dow company. Make sure on our Dow list there on the table, I'm pretty sure Wells Fargo is in the Dow. WFC is down a little bit. The other big one today, J.P. Morgan.
Well, Wells Fargo is not in the Dow.
Not in the Dow, but J.P. Nope. Morgan is. Correct,
yes,
JPM?
Yes, that's correct.
And look at that chart on J.P. Morgan today. Okay, Jamie Dimon doing a little bit better job over at J.P. Morgan than they are doing at Wells Fargo. Of course, Wells Fargo had the big issues with all of the fake accounts. Not fake, but the unauthorized accounts that they opened. Just a disaster for them. You know what? I would change management there. I think they have changed a lot of it. Jamie Dimon, on the other hand, that stock is breaking up to new highs, and I would say there's a big part of your Dow move today. And, of course, I look at Boeing here, and Boeing is also breaking up to new all-time highs. So it's definitely a blue-chip Dow kind of move today. As we look underneath at the energy stocks, the commodity stocks, the technology stocks, they definitely are not participating as much today. Brent crude, okay, now that's the price over in London, and we report over here West Texas crude, but Brent crude hit $70 per barrel for the first time since 2014. And, of course, oil has had a strong move here so far this year. Oil today, let me report the light sweet crude, the West Texas, it's at $63.61. It's down a little bit today. It's down 19 cents per barrel. But, you know, the analysts are saying that OPEC has been effective with their cuts. We have had a little bit of geopolitical risk in Iran, where they had some rioting going on. And it seems that the crude inventories right now are at their lowest level since August of 2015. And in a supply and demand world, you know, tight supplies are good for prices. And we're seeing $63 Brent or West Texas and $70 Brent crude right now, and many are saying that oil could hit $70. That's the West Texas stuff here this year. So we continue to have a fairly good exposure to the energy markets.
Do you want the news on Facebook?
Yeah, can you decipher it for me?
Yeah,
it seems so, a little muddled and not clear to me.
So Zuckerberg's bringing major changes to the news feed. So it's prioritizing meaningful social interactions over relevant content, which means users will start seeing less public content from businesses, so like people paying for ads. So JP Morgan says that it could be $20 billion off the the company's market cap just from losing all of that advertising money that they're bringing in. So it's
well,
a change
like
that they're making on purpose.
No, he's making the change on purpose. So that's what I figured. You know, that's what I had kind of figured in my mind, that whatever he's doing is going to impact their ad revenue. And, of course, really, Facebook has become the giant in advertising and ad revenue. It used to be that Google kind of controlled the world, but now Facebook is very important. If you want to advertise, you know, you almost have to advertise on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's not cheap. Advertising on Facebook does not come cheap. So, you know, we'll have to see what this does to their earnings estimates. I still think Facebook is a powerful, powerful best stock now. I think it's a powerful, powerful premier growth stock. And it's had a very, 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 very favorable PEG ratio for quite some time. I don't think this change, in my opinion, is going to have much impact on the stock, but it is having a short-term effect here on the stock here today. One other bank that has reported in today, a big one, PNC Financial, and that one is basically flat on the day after moving a little bit higher. Okay, when we come back, we've got news on the cryptocurrencies, we got news on inflation, news on the consumer price index, Bill Gross and his bond bear call, and the U.S. dollar, lots of Best Stock Now talk today. This is Bill Gunderson from the Secret Bunker as it's newsletter today, newsletter day today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. You know, I was just looking at Wells Fargo's earnings report, and one thing that I'm watching for on every company that does report will be the effect of the new corporate tax rate on these corporations in the S&P 500. It doesn't look like the new tax rate will have any impact on Wells Fargo. They say that their full year 2017 tax rate was 18.1%. Okay, so they were not paying anywhere near the top rate. They were already paying a low rate. You know, they have lots of different things that affect their real tax rate. And they're predicting that in 2018 it will be 19%. So I don't see where they're getting any kind of earnings benefit from the tax cut. At least that's Wells Fargo, that's WFC. JP Morgan, they beat earnings by 7 cents, okay? And Wells Fargo is an S&P 500 company, despite it not being a Dow company. I just see Wells Fargo as a very troubled company that really just made a lot of missteps last year and really hurt their brand considerably. Okay, J.P. Morgan, on the other hand, despite Jamie Dimon making all the cryptocurrency people, all the Bitcoin people mad with his comments about Bitcoin being a fraud, it's a well-run oiled machine from what I can see, and it has been over the years. They beat by 7 cents. They beat on revenues. It looks like they are guiding a little bit higher here. I'm not seeing anything in this particular statement here as to benefits from the new tax rate for them. But they did beat their earnings by 7 cents, and that's a powerful chart on J.P. Morgan, JPM. Big reason why the Dow is up so much today. And let's see if J.P. Morgan stock is gaining steam here on this report today. Yeah, it's starting to lose a little steam. It is up now just less than 1%. But having said that, that is a new all-time high for J.P. Morgan, and it's breaking out. J.P. Morgan lost $143 million to a single customer.
Yeah,
reporting.
How did they do that? How did they do that?
They're reporting that client as troubled South African retailer Steinhoff, whose stock plunged in early December after disclosing accounting issues. Well, that's never good. So, I mean, they've got a lot of big customers, obviously. But this one was a real problem. South African retailer Steinhoff cost J.P. Morgan a $143 million loss. Ouch. That's got to hurt. Okay, the other bank reporting today is PNC Financial, member of the S&P 500, not a member of the Dow. PNC Financial is about flat on the day. That's a $72 billion market cap company, headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And let me see if I can find anything here real quickly in PNC's numbers. Not really, not yet. As to the impact of new tax rate on them, but they did beat their earnings by 9 cents. There is one other one, a non-bank, but a well-known company, BlackRock. That stock is breaking out to new all-time highs today. BlackRock is an $88 billion company. They have a dividend yield of 1.9%. You see BlackRock CEO on CNBC and Fox Business quite often. They beat earnings by 22 cents. So of the reports today, J.P. Morgan, BlackRock were very good. Wells Fargo was so-so. PNC Bank, a little bit better than expected. So we still continue to be off to a pretty good start. And in the newsletter today, we'll be talking about how many companies will be reporting earnings. Remember to look for that, Stephen. How many companies will be reporting in the coming week that will be S&P 500 companies. You know, I got a new trading strategy that I was thinking about. When a company announces that all of a sudden they're a blockchain company,
yeah,
and it shoots higher, short the stock. You know, it just seems like they come down to earth. The latest one is Kodak. Look, Eastman Kodak, once a proud member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Now, when we went to Disneyland in the early days, Kodak was everywhere. They would have Kodak places to take your pictures from. Here's the Kodak porch to take your pictures from. Kodak ruled the world as it related to photography. And then along came digital photography. And just turned the industry upside down. And Kodak today is a $300 million micro cap company. And you may not realize it, Stephen, but at one time, Eastman Kodak was a member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, one of the largest companies in the world. And in fact, just one other little note of trivia here, Paul McCartney was married to Linda Eastman before she passed away from breast cancer. And when I saw Wings perform in the San Diego Sports Aroma when I was in high school, she was the keyboardist, Linda Eastman was, for Wings, and married to Paul McCartney until she died. And I really think to this day, I think Linda Eastman was the love of Paul McCartney's life, but she died at a very young age. And she was pretty wealthy herself as one of the Eastman heirs. Okay, but of course, that Eastman fortune has gone down considerably. Well, Kodak announced recently about their blockchain and cryptocurrency move. What are they going to have, Kodak coin, something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
And the stock shot up clear to $13 a share. Today it's back down into the $9 range. You know, I'm going to have an article out there soon on exactly what blockchain is. And there is, I probably can't say anything about, but there is, some ETFs and whatnot for blockchain. And I'm going to have a guest on that will describe exactly what blockchain is and why it's impacting the markets and why when a company just announced that all of a sudden Long Island Iced Tea, we're getting into the blockchain industry, the stock shoots up so wildly. And, you know, I had a good talk with the person involved in this industry yesterday. She said, it's like the days of the dot-coms. If you just added a dot-com to your name, petfood.com, back in the year 2000, the stock shot up higher just on the news. And today, there is no question about it, but anytime you see a company say, oh, gee, we're a hamburger chain, but we're going to start printing, minting coins, burger coins, and do a little blockchain along the way, these stocks shoot up. It's craziness. Okay, I've got some best stocks now to talk about when we come back. You're listening to Bill Gunderson and Stephen Gunderson and the Carlsbad. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we have another winning day and a new high day on Wall Street today. And we've had a pretty fantastic start to a new year. Our aggressive growth account is doing very well out of the gate so far. It's up about 5.5% so far this year, while the small caps are up about 3%. S&P is up 3.8% so far. So that's a very, very good start for our ultra growth model. You know, I have people ask me, I want to just describe a little bit my methodology. If you come to me with a new account, all right, and let's just say $100,000 all in cash, I am not going to go out and buy the 33 or 34 stocks that I currently own in the ultra growth model tomorrow. A lot of those stocks are extended now. They're kind of runaway freight trains. I think Netflix would be a good example of that. That's a runaway freight train right now. I would be very reluctant to be putting new money into that stock at the current time. Now, I'm not going to sell it, obviously, but I start with a fresh chalkboard with your portfolio. And every day I go through my database from the time the market opens until the time the market closes. I look at 5,500 different companies, and I pay particular attention to the stocks that I own currently. Obviously, they're the number one priority. The number two priority are the A-plus momentum grades. I look at every one of those every day, and usually there's about 100 of those. And number three, I look at the stocks that are in the top 250, 300. Right now, there's like 450 B-plus or better stocks. So that's a pretty heavy day for me, you know, while the market is open. And some days I look at all of those categories and I don't find anything that I like, because I want everything to come together at the same time. I want the chart to look just right. I don't want runaway freight trains. I don't want rolling over stocks. I really don't want sideways stocks. I want some kind of a catalyst there. And you know what I do, and this applies to the live trading people also. I get some people that subscribe to my live trading service, and they'll ask me, because they also get the newsletter with the portfolios with the live trading service, and they'll ask me, how do I know which stocks you're buying and which stocks you're holding and which stocks you're... I said, just watch me on a daily basis, okay? Don't buy anything until I tell you to buy something. Well, isn't that a slow way to fill up my portfolio? I've learned over the years how important timing is in the market. Don't be afraid of getting left behind or missing out on anything. If I don't see anything that day that I really feel good about, don't think I was goofing off or not wanting to put your money to work, but I'm a methodical, analytical kind of a person. And that's something that separates me from a lot of people in this industry. I knew guys, most people that I've worked with over the years, as soon as they get money from a client, they can't wait to put it to work. Of course, those were the brokerage days, the fee-based or the commission-based days, which I did not partake of, but I saw the commission guys. They couldn't wait to put someone's money to work immediately. Why? Well, because they get paid when they put that money to work. I don't get paid any more or any less by being methodical and strategically placing your money investment by investment, and it depends upon the market conditions. If we have a runaway market, I'm not going to chase those stocks for you. If we have a dangerous market, I'm not going to buy for you. But suffice it to say, what do you think our average on a daily basis? Three or four, you know, and buys. Yeah. And you know, the other thing is if I already own a stock in the portfolio, it's already in there. Well, I tell the live trading subscribers, look, I already own this stock, but I'm buying it today for new clients. So those new clients will obviously have a different cost basis from the clients that have been with me for the last several years. Maybe I've owned the stock for a year and a half, and it has a much lower cost basis. But I still like it today. And I'll tell you right in that live trading tweet or email or push notification, look, I already own the stock. You know, you see it there in the portfolio. But I think it's come back to a level I really like what I see today. I think it's a good time. If you don't own it already, and if you want to follow along in this portfolio, this looks like a good point right now to be buying this stock. And so, you know, just don't worry. Don't get impatient. There's a big, big enemy in the stock market, is being impatient. You know, the other side, the flip side of this, in an uptrending market, people want you to get them invested as quickly as possible. In a downtrending market, they would say, well, why did you put all my money in all at once into the market, right? Well, I realize it's an uptrending market, and I'm just as anxious as you are to put your money to work, but I am going to do it in my methodical, analytical, carefully selected timing. You'll get invested fast enough. Don't worry. And if you don't see me buy something in your portfolio, if you don't see me put out a buy trade in the live trading service, that means I didn't find anything that was just right. I'm pretty particular, but at the same time, I've been pretty aggressively buying here since the beginning of the year. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, we're pretty fully invested in all of our portfolios. But if you're a brand new client that began last week, maybe you're 25 or 30% invested right now. Just be patient. All right, other news today. There's always news every single day on the autonomous cars. General Motors has filed for government approval to deploy the first production-ready vehicle designed from the start without a steering wheel, pedals, or other unnecessary manual controls. The Cruise AV, autonomous vehicle, a rebranded version of the Chevrolet Bolt EV, will be ready to hit the road by 2019. That's next soon. Year.
Yeah, that's really soon.
Now listen, are you going to get into a car without a steering wheel or a gas pedal here's the word I like, unnecessary manual controls.
Man,
you have that faith?
I want to try it, but I'm going to be really close with the door unlocked just to jump out at any time.
Maybe it needs an ejection seat with a parachute, in case.
It's a little scary.
I have faith in God, but I don't know about Chevy Bolt and GM.
Yeah.
And I thought about that yesterday. I did a little bit of a road trip, and I did use the cruise control. I mean, that goes without saying, where you take your foot off the gas pedal. But you know what? There were times when I put my foot on that pedal, and all of a sudden a truck decides to pull in front of me to change lanes. You know, I guess the autonomous will sense that and slow down accordingly. And secondly, I did use my driver assist. What it does, it stiffens up the steering wheel. So if you start to drift, you know, across a lane, it will stiffen it up and try to keep you in that lane. But it definitely is not hands-free.
Right.
No, not hands-free. But you just need a little bit lighter touch on the steering wheel. But these GM robo taxis will have no steering wheel and no. Hey, there must be a panic button.
There's got to be.
You know, what if you're in an intersection and here comes a drunk running a red light? I don't know.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do about that anyways?
Well, I'm going to speed up is what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to floor it and get the heck out of Dodge. I've been on the freeway before where I saw someone behind me braking and looked like they were going to hit me, and I've moved into the lane, I changed lanes so they didn't hit me. I don't know. I want to turn over all my faith in Chevy Bolt and GM. Well, it's coming in 2019, and, you know, the technology companies, the Cognexes of the world, the LearCorps of the world, the Intels of the world, which owns Mobileye, all of these technology companies are now coming into play, and I would rather own them than, say, GM, for instance. But every day there's news on this autonomous car business. This is Bill Gunderson. Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Stephen, did you call NBC and buy our 32nd spot on the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, we just missed out.
We just missed out?
Yeah, we came in a little under their budget.
Well, they're almost sold out of their inventory this year. A 32nd spot for the Super Bowl, $5 million. You write the check. You got the checkbook.
Yeah, I offered four, but they wouldn't take it.
All right. Well, here's the bigger question: who will the participants be?
Yeah.
Who? Let me hear it right now.
I mean, it's going to be Doritos, like they're always there, and Pepsi.
No. Who's going to be playing in the grid lines?
The grid lines. It's going to be the Patriots. Patriots.
Oh, not the Patriots. I know. Again.
I know the Patriots and the, let's see, who's in the other? I'm going to go Vikings.
Vikings versus the Patriots. Yep. Okay, I like your Vikings picks because I love my fans up there in Minnesota.
Good defense always wins.
I'm going to go with your Vikings.
All right.
But you know what? Someone's going to upset New England this year. The AFC team for me. Who else is still alive in the AFC?
Pittsburgh, yeah. Jacksonville, Tennessee.
Yeah, those are.
I know. Pittsburgh's the only one that has a chance.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, all right. I like Jacksonville.
Jacksonville versus Minnesota. There we go. All right, well, and of course, listen, the interesting thing is the Super Bowl's in Minnesota this year.
I know. That'd be cool if
Wouldn't
Minnesota
made that
it.
Be something if those Vikings got to play at home for the Super Bowl? You imagine how much a ticket would be for a poor guy living in St. Paul?
Yeah.
Oh,
good
my
luck.
Gosh. Yeah. I'd buy a ticket to the Super Bowl to see his team play. Well, anyways, guess what the number one performing Dow stock is so far this year?
This year. I'm going to go Boeing.
General Electric.
Oh, General Electric. Wow.
But look at the chart. That's
yeah,
a chart
still,
that
yeah.
Went from $33 a share down to $17, got cut in half last year. Got cut in half. And as I went on my tour around the country, I warned about General Electric. I was dead on right about it. Now, do I have any interest in it here now that it's $19 a share? It's
no.
Up 10% so far this year. And no, I have no interest whatsoever. Who threw gasoline on the fire during the break? Have you seen the averages?
Yeah, I know. And have you seen, just look at a chart of Boeing. I just threw it out there and looked at it.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
And all of a sudden, the NASDAQ is up 38. And the market had just took off here in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, Dow's up 215.
Yeah, it's up over 200 again.
Wow.
And CNBC is tripping all over themselves to try to figure out how they can blame it on the 1%. It's anyways, today is newsletter day. Okay, here's what's important. Here's what to watch for. You know what? In the newsletter now, we're showing those 100 momentum, A-plus momentum grade stocks.
That's right.
That's for the premium subscribers and the
live trading.
The live trading. Well, we added a column. We list our top 250 ranked stocks, but I added a column of the momentum grade. And just scan down that, boy. Make a mental note. Write it down, the symbols of those A-plus momentum grades, and we're moving forward. I would think by next week, maybe that'll be a feature that will be live. And I would think that watch list on the app will be ready to go probably by next week. And, of course, the marijuana sector, which we've created. I don't think MarketSmith. Let me see. What's a marijuana stock we can pull up on MarketSmith here?
Man, there's not many. I've been going through
them. Yeah, there's one. Oh, but what group do they have them in is what I'm getting at. Let me take a look here. They have, okay, XXII is definitely a marijuana stock. They have it in the group of, yeah, they have them as biotechs,
yeah,
a lot of them. Because, you know, a lot of them are using the oils from marijuana, the cannabis, you know, to put into the pain-killing drugs and stuff like that. So a lot of them are in the biotech sector. But most of them, I would have to say, trade on the pink sheets, on the bulletin boards. Very few of them trade on the big exchanges. GWPH would be another one that I can think of offhand, but it too is a biotech. So, yeah, most of them are in the biotech, and that's where I put them. I lump the biotech sector together with the drug sector. So in the app right now, you would find them in the drug sector, and maybe – just pull up the drug sector. Are you in the full version of the app? Just click on the drug sector. What's our top-ranked stocks right now in the drug sector? I bet there's a few marijuana stocks in there.
We got Nectar Therapeutics, Vertex.
Okay, Nectar is that one that came up with the painkiller opioid that's not addictive. And Nectar is doing very well. What else do we have in the top biotechs?
Vertex. Exelixix, Neurocrine, Avexis, Jazz. You got to go down a little bit now because I think they've cooled off recently.
Yeah, the marijuana stocks are down today. They've cooled off quite a bit.
GW Pharmaceuticals is the first one that pops
up. All right. So today we'll be writing the newsletter. It will be going out later today. We will have our update on the latest S&P 500 earnings estimates. We will have the portfolios, what we bought and sold. If you're a trial, if you're just getting it for the first time, look, you get that one for 2 weeks. We call it the full Monty, the whole enchilada. And I have my article on the kind of a recap of the week, what we talked about here, the big news items for the week in the newsletter. We have our scorecard for the week, and we got to update that today, so we show year-to-date now that we're a couple weeks into the year. We have our target price for the S&P 500, our S&P 500 earnings estimates. I don't think there's a better market newsletter out there. If there is, please, please, somebody, let me know. I've subscribed to many, many newsletters over the years. And if there's a better newsletter than the Best Stocks Now newsletter that comes out every Friday, very hard-hitting, honest, no agenda, here's what I've observed as a fishing guide. I was talking to a friend yesterday. He's an avid fisherman. I said, you know what? I'm going to be going back to South Carolina here soon. I want to learn the fishing back there in that harbor. I said, who should I go to? He says, well, why don't you talk to somebody who fishes that harbor all the time, who knows it very well? I couldn't agree more.
Go to GundersonCapital.com to sign up for the newsletter.
That's right. Or call
us. The show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.